Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and thank you for joining our show. I'm Lady Carolyn.
And I'm Elder Clayton Evans.
And we want to thank you for joining us. We're Love Walk International Ministries Incorporated, and tonight our show is Learning to Operate in Love by Keeping Hope Established. And before we get started, we would like to add some prayer so that we can decrease and God can increase in us. Amen.
Spirit of the true and living God, we come before your throne, Father God. We go on before us, Father God. And we ask the Heavenly Father that you would help us now, Father God, as we search your scriptures, dear Heavenly Father, and incline upon your spirit, dear Heavenly Father, so that we can learn more, dear Heavenly Father, about your love, dear Heavenly Father, and how to operate it, dear Heavenly Father, according to your scriptures, Father God. We ask now, dear Heavenly Father, that you would send your spirit to dwell among us, dear Heavenly Father, and we ask you things in Jesus' name. We'll simply pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. And again, we'll be talking about learning to operate in love by keeping hope established. We will be discussing how many times we fail in our relationships because we lose hope that things can work out for our good. We make rash decisions contingent on our flesh instead of operating in love in the Word of God to help us sustain the relationship or the marriage that we are in. It is imperative that we always continue to keep hope established to be able to operate in love and have the desire to continue in the Word of God's commandment to love one another. Without hope, we are doomed to fail. And some take this as a failure on love, but the Word tells us that love never fails. Amen. And the man of God is going to bring the Word of God. Amen. He's going to come out of 1 Chronicles 29:15. We're coming out of the Message Bible.
And it reads, "We are foreigners and strangers in your sight, as were all our ancestors. Our days on earth are like a shadow, without hope." Amen.
Amen. And that's the Word of God.
For the people of God.
Amen.
Thanks be unto God.
And today we're going to be talking about how relationships are just really under attack all over the world, not just marriages, all relationships. You know, with this being the end of times, we have to recognize that the enemy does not want us to be able to walk in love at all. And if he can get us into a posture where we don't have any hope that our relationships can work out, that he can continue to torture us out of being in these fellowships and relationships and friendships and working relationships, you know, got bosses that, you know, you can't get along with. You have co-workers that you can't get along with, neighbors that you can't get along with. He does not care what the relationship is. The only thing the enemy cares about is making sure that that relationship does not work. And a lot of times when we go in and we're looking at all of the difficult things that are going on inside of a relationship, and we start losing that hope to believe that this relationship can work out. When me and my husband were struggling in our marriage, there were many times that we had set up a spirit of separation in our marriage because we both had lost the hope that we could last and continue to go through whatever it was that we was going through at that time to make it to the other side. We couldn't see that, you know, and that's one of the things, you know, that hope is. Hope is a wish for a better outcome. And if you cannot see a better outcome, if you don't have that desire for a better outcome, then you end up not even working towards one. We would rather stay in a negative posture than to be able to come into the more positive aspect of what can help us to work this out. What can we do to make things better? How can we operate in love? What spiritual aspect of the principles of love do we need to put in here to make things get better day by day, minute by minute? and second by second, because a lot of times we have to work on it just a little bit at a time, just a little bit at a time. But in order to do that, we must establish some hope. Amen?
It's so true. I mean, when you give up hope, that means that everything is fixed. So that makes you question if you had love from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because the scripture tells us that love's hope, all things, you know. And if you're in a hopeless marriage, you know, it's really hard to try to come back, you know, because you have a tendency to start to look in different directions, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're thinking about how to get out of it.
Right.
How to establish your own life separate from that covenant that you're supposed to be in, you know, made those vows to be until death do you part,
mm-hmm.
you know. So it is very important that we examine hope and let people know that there is hope for marriages and relationships.
Amen.
But you have to work on it. You know, you just can't, you know, think that, you know, things just gonna get better on their own. You know, it takes some work, but you know, with God's help, you know, all things are possible if we just believe. And you have to believe in your marriage. You have to believe in the relationship that you have in order for that hope to be established in that relationship. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. It's good. And you're so right, because I was just thinking about how when we get to that spirit of separation, we do start looking outside of ourselves and outside of our marriage and outside of our relationship for something else to replace those negative feelings that we have at home. You know, a lot of times instead of staying in the house and working on what's going on, we go outside the house and try to find something else. You know, you might want to go to a club. You know, you might want to go hang out with your pals. You know, you want to do all these other extracurricular activities outside instead of being in the home and working things out. Because in order for us to establish that hope, we have to be with each other to be able to work through those issues that we have so that we can find out exactly what it is that's going on so that we can correct our own wrongs. You know, and we have to be real careful, too, when you're trying to establish hope and you're around people who believe that, who other people that believe that you're in a hopeless dilemma. So many times you might go to the wrong person and people feed you that negativity. If I was you, I'd just get out now, you know, or, you know, I don't blame you. You know, I wouldn't go home either, you know, or I know somebody, you know, that you can talk to. You know, you have to be real careful that those negative spirits that are out there, you know, like the word said, the enemy is looking. He's looking, he's searching for somebody that he can use to help you destroy what it is that God ordained for you in your life. You know, and he can find people and feed them and be in their ear and they be in yours, you know. And you have to be real careful about that. I was talking to a person earlier, you know, about, you know, establishing some hope. You know, like I had told you, it was odd that we was having that conversation because we had already just talked about having this topic, you know. And it's so relevant in the situation, you know, that they're in, because they don't see any hope right now. They don't see any hope for their relationship at all, because what they're doing is they're pointing out each negative thing about each other, and they're feeding off of that, you know. And whatever we feed, we know that that's what's going to grow the largest, you know. So if we continue to feed the negative, like if I keep looking at this is what's wrong, and this is what's wrong, and this is what's wrong, and can't even remember anything ever being right.
Well, first of all, you know, when a relationship comes to that kind of juncture, you know, it already has been established on negativity from the beginning. So you're looking at each other with blinders on, really, because, you know, you're looking at the wrong in the other person. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You done already build walls around you, you know, because seems like everything you do, you know, is a source of irritation. And, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes we get so upset and angry at each other that we don't want to be in the same room with each other. We don't want to communicate with each other. So the enemy is studying putting things in between the two individuals that keep them from being able to establish even some kind of form of communication, you know. That's why, you know, we have to just lean on the Word of God, you know, and sometimes it's good to just go into your prayer closet, you know. And if nothing else, you know, ask God to help you mm-hmm. to work on your issues and whatever it is that, you know, because a lot of times, you know, it's just not no one individual.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. There are some things that will cause a relationship to go to the left or to the right. You know what I'm saying? But a lot of times the words that are spoken help to do more damage.
That's right.
You know, and when you have that resentment and animosity and anger and stuff, you know, things are said that really hurt the heart, you know, and it makes it, you know, hopeless, mm-hmm. you know, because the more you pile on it, the worse it gets.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And then you had mentioned about one, you know, outside the relationship, you know, to try to find resolve or try to find an answer to the problem. But 9 times out of 10, you know, you're not going to get anything that's really good sound advice because, you know, if that was the case, then that individual would probably be at home instead of at the club.
Amen,
you know what I'm saying?
Amen.
And if you go to seek counsel, you want to seek wise counsel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't want to go to somebody mm. that really don't, not even married.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, not in a solid relationship. You know what I'm saying? But that's your homeboy. You know, y'all went to school together. Y'all been together since you were 5, 6 years old. So when I got a problem, he's the only one that I could trust that I hold on to, but he got 5 girlfriends.
Mm-hmm.
So how's he going to give you some godly advice
Amen.
About your situation?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So to establish hope, you have to either look for godly counsel in the elder in the church or your pastor, or you know, go to the Word of God. Go straight to the Word. You know,
mm-hmm.
get down on your knees and just pray and ask God to help you to even listen. If you have problems understanding what's going on, to just ask Him to help you. You know, in your relationship, He is that third cord anyway to hold that marriage or that relationship together. So you need to seek ye first the kingdom,
Amen.
And the answer will come.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so. Because once you get in a relationship that's in a hopeless state, sometimes that gulf gets so big, it's hard to come back.
It really is.
You know?
And you got to look at it too, like you were saying earlier, how relationships start out. You know, because in our story, you know, we fell madly in bed, got married, and then we tried to get to know each other. You know, and when things are so out of order like that, because we don't know these people that we're involved with, we get to know them, we find out that after the googly eyes and all the little passion, you know,
has fizzled out,
you know, because now we got to deal with each other, you know, in another position, you know, yes, you know.
Eyes wide open.
Right, with eyes wide open, you know, and standing straight up, you know, and facing one another. And when we realize that, you know, I was listening to you when you was talking about, you know, how you can pile all that stuff on top of stuff, you know, and on top of it and on top of it, you know, and it may seem like the love diminishes, but what happens is that the love is up under all of that stuff. And you, because love never fails, love bears all. Love can take all that stuff that you're putting on top of it if you start moving the stuff off of it, you know, and learning how to understand that because you went into a relationship with somebody that you didn't know, the problem, you know, where the lesson is love and establishing that hope is get to know these people that you're with. You know, I like the way that you said listen, because even in anger, a person can tell you so much information that you need to hear,
right.
You know, that can help you to understand why you there. You know what's going on. Yeah, you know, if you listen instead of trying to figure out your response in your head, you know, how you gonna come back.
Because
you know,
most of the time, you know, it's about who's right.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
More than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like that old saying, you know, we can sing together.
But we can't talk
at the same time, mm-hmm. you know, because so much is going to be missed, you know, in the course of words going back and forth mm-hmm. and not really mm-hmm. nobody being heard, you know what I'm saying?
And that closed mind, you know, because we were talking about how in our relationship, another thing that we have to do to help establish that hope is to not live with the expectancy that is always hopeless. You know, if we start thinking hope instead of thinking this is hopeless, because, you know, we was all, you know, my motto was I'm waiting on that other shoe to drop. You being good, you being kind, you doing everything that I would love to have you do, but I'm waiting on that other shoe to drop. And as long as my spirit is held down and bound to that, because this is what I'm prophesizing to my own life, that the shoe is going to drop soon, you know, my spirit gonna eventually jump over there in yours, because you're going to get tired of feeling like you always a suspect, you know, or you always being criticized or thought negative of, you know what I'm saying?
And that causes a complex, too, you know,
mm-hmm.
but at the same time, you know, not really knowing what love is, you know, we have a tendency to fall into those little traps, you know what I'm saying,
mm-hmm.
where, okay, now, since you're coming at me like that, then I'm going to retaliate.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And not really knowing, having the love of Christ in me, you know, having God's love on the inside, you know, even though we saved, still have to understand and learn what love is, you know.
And once we
accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, you know, have we really let him write his commandments on our heart? Do we really feel his love, you know? Have we communed with him and really felt the shower of his love and the warmth of his love in our own heart? Because if you don't have that inside of you, then you can't share it with anybody else. You know, there's nothing to give. So you're just going on your own emotion, you know, you're going on your own mindset and way of thinking of how you think it's best to deal with this situation in these circumstances. You know what I'm saying? And 9 times out of 10, you know, when the right word is said, you know, everything that you don't try to establish, it done fell apart again, you know, because you really don't have anything to anchor it in. You know, so when the emotions get to flaring, and all it takes is one word,
mm-hmm,
you know,
one look,
or something that, you know, the other person, you know, kind of push their buttons or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and then, you know, you're back at square one. You know, so how do we get to the point where we can let that desire of having a hopeful relationship even, you know, help us to get to the point where we want to stay and we want to try, you know. Like you always say, it has to be a desire in your heart to want to do, to want to change, to want to try, you know. But if that desire has been diminished by all the things that have been, you know, piled up in that relationship, you know, then the person have a tendency to just, you know, we're going to give up.
And it goes back to, you know, the renewing of your mind,
yeah.
You know, because love does not take an inventory wrong. If we could remember that, if love is kind, love is passionate, if we could remember those things that, like you said, love is, and find out how can I apply these things to my life, how can I apply these principles inside of my relationship, if I start understanding that every time I think negatively about you, it got something to do with our experience. Nothing that has to be happening right now you know, my experience of all the negative stuff that has happened, that's my inventory of wrongs that I'm still holding you accountable for.
And a lot of times, you know, when all those negative things are directed to a person, you know, it tears down their self-will.
Exactly.
And they'll get to the point where, you know, if you feel that way about me, then why should I be here anyway?
Right,
you know,
exactly.
You know, mm-hmm. And I ain't got to put up with that because, you know, even in my self-esteem is low, I still think of myself a little higher than that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And what little bit I got, I'm going to pack up with my broken record player, my two speakers, my toothbrush, my watch rag, and I'm getting ready to get on out the door and
take
find somebody.
And go home.
Yeah, see, find somebody that appreciates me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And that's the mindset, you know, most people get to when they get to that point of hopelessness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why? You know, what's the purpose? What's the reason of staying around? But it's, you know, it's bigger than that. It's much bigger than that because if you thought enough about that person to say I do, you know, and to exchange those vows and those rings and establish that vow in front of God and witnesses, man, it's much more than just a moment of hostility and frustration. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But when you allow it to grow to a point where it's so heavy on both of you, you know, that the atmosphere is thick and you walk around, don't touch me, don't look at me, don't say nothing to me, I hate you. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You got a problem.
Yeah, because negativity breeds negativity. It's only going to get bigger. You remember when I had decided, I think, I don't know if somebody told me or I read it somewhere because, you know, I read a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it was talking about, you reminded me, it was talking about that courtship,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I had heard about that wedding ring. I think that was one of the things that you had said to me in our vows, that was a circle that went round and round that could never be broken.
Right.
You know, once we in it, we in it, we can't get out, you know, and thinking about how we were so in love, you know, and then we get to a point where we don't believe that we're in love anymore, but we got these emotions that are so mixed up because there are times when you can look at the other person and you know you love them. You know it deep down, upon all that cussing, fussing, you know, and jacking each other up, there's love.
Well, see,
you
somebody
know.
In the relationship don't know if they act right.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the problem is.
Okay.
And when you lose your act right, you're going to have some problems.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you get into that self mode, you know. And then in the I generation, because everything is I this and I that.
Mm-hmm.
But once you get that I mentality, you take on the nature of, you know, the enemy. You know, because that's what messed him up.
Right.
Because he thought more of himself that he wanted to, you know, raise up against, you know, Jehovah God himself.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to sit his throne, his kingdom up,
mm-hmm.
you know. And when you get that haughty attitude, you know, there comes a separation because in a marriage, there is no I. You know, it's us, it's we,
mm-hmm.
it's ours. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So,
and that is something that you have to definitely be able to start speaking.
Right.
You know, because when you're going around talking about, well, you know, that's my TV. Remember that?
Yeah. That's
my TV, you know, and this is my car.
And
that's when it's also a spirit of control,
yeah.
you know, because of abuse comes in that financial control. You know, when a person that can pull the purse strings, you know, and stop you and immobilize you from
yeah.
living and enjoying your life, that's abuse.
I used to throw a bill up in the middle.
Oh, yes, pay your rent. Tell me, pay the rent. You pay your own rent. I didn't have no job. But what I was going to talk about, to thank God for delivering, what I was going to tell you was that, you know, when we started the courtship back. You remember how hard that was when I felt like I was dragging you? We used to go play pool and do karaoke. Remember all the nights that we was just there around the pool table handing each other back and we didn't have a one pool stick. You see how God did us? We didn't have a one pool stick that we had to hand back and forth to each other, but we weren't even speaking to each other. So we just going through the motion of playing the game, you know, but the consistency of continuing to do that, eventually we had to start talking to each other. And somewhere, somewhere along the line, you know, it started working for us.
How foolish we look, really.
Okay.
To be husband and wife and to be carrying on like that, it was cool.
Mm-hmm.
It was just cool, you know. And like you say, you know, thank God for the liberty.
Yes,
when you look back on it, it's funny now, but it
wasn't.
It was a hurtful thing.
But those were some of the things that we can do to work on establishing that hope again. You know, like I say, when we spend time together, you know, because God's going to keep us together if we want to be kept.
Right.
You know, he's going to do that. The Bible say, let no man choose, that include me.
Amen.
You know, when we're trying to destroy our own relationship.
Sabotage.
We got to look at all the things that we do because it's only telling us the truth that we still don't know how to operate in love. And the only way we're going to find out how to operate in love is to find out those things that love is not.
Right.
Stop taking that inventory. You know, stop leading people to wrath, you know.
Stop being rude,
you know, haughty like you were talking about. You know, have some patience, have some kindness, you know. Treat your mate like your friend. You know how we treat our friends so well. You know, we don't care what how our friends treat us. We be like, they'll be all right.
But
let it be your mate do the same thing. We have a heart attack, you know.
The thing that came in my mind was how nasty we off of one another.
Oh, God.
It was awful.
Talking about each other, dead parents.
It was sad.
It is a shame.
You know,
we do thank God for the deliverance because, and that's, you know, the biggest part of this ministry, people don't have to suffer as long as we suffer through that mess. You know, we can just help one. If we could just help one marriage, one relationship, and they could help somebody else,
because
it's necessary that we learn how to love. We got to learn how to operate in love.
It's this ministry because we didn't love each other. We really didn't love each other. Because if we did, we wouldn't have treated each other the way we did.
You might have didn't love me, but I loved you, Clayton.
I mean, you wasn't showing it. You definitely wasn't showing it. You know, but it like you say, it was some love there, but it was so deep down, buried under so much stuff.
I think you had a bigger problem with love than I did.
Well, I admit it. I didn't know how to love.
I didn't know how to accept love.
I didn't know how to.
That's what was hurting me.
You didn't know how to accept
the love that I was trying to give you. That's what irritated, frustrated, aggravated me.
But I never saw that.
I know.
You know, and that's what the problem was.
Okay.
You know, when you go through the mechanics of being in a relationship and really not totally committed to that relationship, then you really don't know what you're doing.
Right.
You're just there.
Right.
You're just roommate.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And you just have...
I was demanding a whole lot more because I wanted more from you.
This is a topic we're going to have to continue on.
Okay.
Because there's so much more that needs to be shared. And I just thank the Holy Spirit for giving us that topic and allowing us to be able to share that.
Amen.
Amen.
I thank you so much, too. You want to pray us out?
Amen. Okay. Whew, Father God, we thank you.
Thank you, God.
Thank you. Thank you for that spirit of hope. Letting us know, dear Heavenly Father, that in you all things are possible through Christ Jesus that strengthens us. And we just pray for marriages right now, Father God, that there be hope, dear Heavenly Father. If anyone out there right now that's struggling in their marriage, if Jesus is the answer. And we thank you, Father God, and we ask that you just continue to speak with us and abide with us, Father God, as we continue this ministry. And we ask these things in Jesus' name, for his sake we pray. Amen.
Amen, and thank you so much. And we just like to thank you for joining us, and we hope that you'll join us again. And we just want to say that no matter what the situation is, what the circumstances is, no matter what the problem is, love never fails. And any time that you're trying to learn whatever it is that's going on in your life, just remember, the lesson is always love. Amen.
Amen. Wow, I go on for this one.